for yet another day, special day, the Lord's Day that we can gather together to worship you and to hear your word. So may you speak to us through your word this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today, I'm just following the lectionary readings from and mainly preaching from Genesis chapter 18. Well, after service one day, father was overheard that he was driving his family home one day, and he was complaining about the service, you know, as he usually does. He said, you know, today it was terrible. The ushers forgot to pass me a bulletin. He didn't smile at me. He didn't shake my hands, you know. The sound was just too loud today. The hall was too stuffy. The choir sang out of tune. The preacher was so boring. Everything went so terribly. And then his son spoke from the back of the car. He says, Dad, you have to admit, it's not bad for $2 that you paid for the whole family. can't complain, huh? I wonder, as we come to church each week, what are our expectations? Certainly, we expect some decent level of comfort, hospitality, preaching of God's word, songs of worship, isn't it? But I think you come to church not just for that, not just to sing a few songs and to hear the preacher say a few words. It's more than that, isn't it? You're here because you want to encounter with God, because you want to hear from God through the preaching of his word, through worship, through prayer, and to experience his grace, even as we gather around the table to partake of the Holy Communion together. Now, a lot more can be said about the Sunday worship experience, but what I actually want us to think about this morning is this. Our worship of God and our encounter of God is not limited to just the Sunday worship service. You see, God wants us to have a daily encounter with him. Not just on Sundays when we come to church. Of course, when you come, you will meet with God because God is present. When we draw near with faith, we will encounter God. But it's not limited to just this. And I think it was certainly true of Abraham in an account that we just read in Genesis 18. I have a simple outline that you would have in a bulletin. And 2 points I've listed there. The first is to expect God to turn up in our lives in the most unexpected places. Expect God to turn up in the most unexpected places. You see, the account starts off with Abraham, and it was just a typical day. He was resting at the door of his tent in the middle of the day when he spots 3 men walking in front of him. It was a usual hot day, probably in summer, and in certain parts of Israel, temperatures can go up to as high as 40 degrees. Right, so you can imagine how hot that is. And the Bible tells us it's in the heat of the day that the visitors arrive at Abraham's tent. Now, at this point, Abraham was probably not aware of the real identity of the visitors, not knowing that one of them could have been the manifestation of the Lord himself. But he was simply giving his usual courtesy hospitality that anyone in the Middle East region would have done, that he extends to everyone he meets. Although, I don't think everyone would have done what Abraham had done to that extent. I think Abraham did a lot more than what is expected. He was a rich man, but he didn't put on airs. But we read in the account, he actually ran towards the visitors under the hot sun, greeted them, bowed down before them, showed such humility, right? And asking for the honor of hosting them. You see, the visitors were actually just passing by. If you read the rest of chapter 18, you realize that they were there actually en route to another location for another task. But Abraham intercepted them. He could have just ignored them, right? They were just walking past. But if he's hospitable enough, he could have said, okay, you know, let me refresh you. It's hot. Give you some water, give you some bread, and you can be on your way. But Abraham did much more than that. Verse 3, Abraham went up to them and says, Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Right, so he sat them down comfortably, gave them water to wash their feet, offered bread and food. And after making all the preparations, I thought it's very significant and we don't want to miss that in verse 8. After everything was prepared and the food was laid out before him, he says, the Bible tells us in verse 8, Abraham stood by them under the tree while they ate. Abraham stood there with them. He didn't just send them away with tapao food, you know, for takeaways and says, you know, thank you, be on your way. He actually spent time with them. After preparing all the food, he spent time with them, hosted them. You see, Abraham was a rich man. He had more than 300 servants and workers with him. But yet, he personally hosted the visitors as head of the household. What a beautiful picture of a heart of humility, of a heart of hospitality. It was 2,000 years later that the writer of the Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, no doubt in reference to Abraham's encounter here. He talked about the different examples of faith in Hebrews 11. And in verse 13, he says this, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You see, Abraham actually wasn't worshipping on a Sabbath that day. He wasn't having a Passover meal in that sense when the visitors came and manifested and God's presence manifested before him. Of course, during Abraham's time, all these were not instituted yet, right? There was no Sabbath, there was no Passover. But the point was this, he wasn't doing anything spiritual that day, at that time, when God came into the presence of Abraham. You see, God meets us where we are, sometimes through our simple everyday routines in life. And I think Abraham has perfected what I would call the art of hanging around. The art of hanging around. Just learning to put things aside in order to be with people and to make that a priority. See, being Singaporeans, I think sometimes we are just too preoccupied with being efficient, using the least amount of resources to produce the greatest amount of outcome, isn't it? Even in our language, our Singlish is that. We use the least amount of words to be able to communicate, isn't it? And I guess half the world doesn't understand us. But when it comes to relationship, relationship building takes time. It takes time. It means we need to intentionally set time aside. We cannot take shortcuts. We cannot be too efficient. We need to learn to recognize how God is revealing himself in various ways in our lives. Sometimes through simple life encounters of someone going out of the way to help us. Sometimes through words spoken by friends in a normal conversation over a meal that really speaks to your situation. Sometimes through a chance encounter with someone on the road. Don't shy away from this. My encouragement to you, brothers, like Abraham, let us run towards these strangers that God sends along our paths, that God brings into our lives. Run towards them. Stand with them for a moment. Practice the art of hanging around. Seek to be a blessing to them and see how God reveals himself to you. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a pleasant chance encounter with somebody I knew from years back, a senior Campus Crusade staff member, staff lady, Janice. I was actually at TechMan to purchase some books. After buying my books, I left, for those of you who may know, it's just nearby in Bras Basah. I left TechMan and I went downstairs and I was on the way back to church. And then I realized I forgot. I forgot to buy some book vouchers. So I had to go all the way up again to get the book vouchers. And it was this second time that as I was paying for the book vouchers, that a lady came by in front of me and stood there. I looked up and I recognized her. She was that staff that was ministering to me during my days in NTU more than 20 years ago. She didn't see me because she was looking at many other staff in TechMan. And it was one of those Genesis 18 moments, right? Somebody comes up in front of you. Do you pretend you don't see her, you know, and walk away, you know, and go on to something else you have to do during the day? Or do you break your routine and stop to say hi and to engage with the person? Well, I did call out to her. We spent time catching up. I was glad I remembered her name, you know. And I was so blessed by her sharing that afternoon. You know, we stood there, we talked. We left the shop because we were blocking the queue. We went downstairs, we talked, and going down the escalator, every level we stopped and we talked. We talked so long until it was starting to rain. You know, that I had to give her a lift to the MRT. But we had a beautiful conversation that afternoon. And I was so encouraged by her passion for the lost. You know, she's dedicated her life to serving God. She stayed single. She goes on regular trips overseas to share the gospel. She was a senior staff, but she didn't spend all her time teaching and mentoring staff. She did that. But she also took time out personally for personal evangelism, for personal trips to meet with individuals. She's one of those that comes to our cathedral grounds, even though she's not a cathedral member. But she comes because she sees a lot of people on our grounds, the Mianmis. They are all over our cathedral lawn in the afternoon. And she goes there and she sits down with them, she talks to them, she shares the gospel with them. And I believe God used her to speak to me, to speak into my life that afternoon. I was so inspired after that conversation with her. You know, life can be a very exciting journey of God-ordained encounters. When we open our eyes to recognize such opportunities and grab hold of these opportunities to meet with God, if we shy away, these opportunities pass us by. We need to learn to have Abraham's attitude when he says in verse 3, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." Do not pass by your servant. Don't let these opportunities to encounter God pass you by. Seek to engage with people. Seek to bless. And God will reveal himself to you. Not only do we need to see God in our daily lives, we also need to learn to serve God through serving others. The narrative continues and we read of Abraham's generosity, isn't it? His overabundant hospitality to the visitors. You know, he got Sarah to prepare 3 seahs of fine flour to make bread. How much is 3 seahs? It's actually almost 23 liters of flour. That's a lot. That's a lot of flour. And that will make a lot of bread, isn't it? And not only that, he also kills and cooks a young calf just for these 3 visitors. You see, he went out of the way to bless these visitors, whom, as far as he is concerned, they were complete strangers. They were strangers, they were not even, in that sense, visiting him. They were just passing by his tent. They were not well-known, powerful people whom he would do well to make friends with. He didn't make friends with them because of that. He didn't honor them because they were royalty, even though he treated them as if they were kings. He was simply doing it out of the goodness of his heart to be a blessing to them, regardless of who they were. I think Abraham's attitude is what we ought to have when we are serving others. We treat people as if they are kings. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for your human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." And this is what Jesus also taught in Matthew chapter 25, when he was teaching a parable about a king, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus said this, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know, we need to learn to serve and honor one another the same way that we serve and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. And this applies not just for areas of ministries within the church, but I believe also the way that we relate with others in our social circles, in our workplaces, to our family members at home. When we reach out to them and serve them, we are serving Christ. And Jesus says that we will be rewarded for doing so when he returns and when he receives us into his kingdom. So, expect God to turn up in the most unexpected places. Learn to see God wherever we may be. And secondly, expect God's word to come to pass in the most unusual manner. The narrative continues, and we read that the visitors came and subsequently revealed themselves to Abraham on their true identity in a conversation that followed. And it was probably only in verse 9 that Abraham recognized them. When they asked Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" I think at that point, something clicked in Abraham. Abraham realized that the visitors he was hosting were actually from God, because they knew his wife's name not as Sarai, but as Sarah. And Sarah was a name conferred to her as a promise of the covenant that God had with Abraham. Actually, just in Genesis 17, it just occurred within actually the last 12 months in the last meeting with God. And so here is the climax of this narrative, right? The confirmation of that prophetic word that was given to Abraham that he will be the father of nations in chapter 17, that he will have a son of his own flesh and blood through Sarah, and kings of peoples will come through her. And now these messengers come again in chapter 18 and say, the time is now. Sarah, you will have a son next year. So the message couldn't have been clearer. God has spoken to them three times to confirm it in their hearts. You know, my friends, whatever God says will come to pass in His perfect timing. Actually, you look back for the couple Abraham and Sarah, it has been actually 14 years already since they first received that word from the Lord, that promise in chapter 15. And 14 years have passed. They have waited year after year after year, and nothing has happened. And maybe Sarah has already given up hope that it will come to pass. And maybe that's why after that she laughed. Because it's like, you know, 15 years ago I couldn't. Now I'm already, 89? How is it possible? But that's when we need to learn to trust that God's timing is perfect. And it's often not what we would expect, because His ways and purposes are higher and beyond our understanding. When Abraham first received the promise of the son, he also did not understand how it would happen, but he believed. And so we need to learn to receive God's word with trust. Even when we don't understand how things will turn out, we need to believe and we need to trust. I think it was about 7 years ago when I felt that the Lord was speaking to me. He gave me I received a word from the Lord, and that word was to leave church. Just so that it won't shock you, it's not to leave the faith, okay? But it's to leave the church that I was serving in. And it really shook me. You know, it was a church that I had grown up in for more than 20 years. And so it was quite difficult to think about leaving the church. I was already pastoring there in the church. I was enjoying ministry, experiencing growth. But God's word to me was very, very clear. Leave. Leave. And I remember it was very difficult emotionally during that time. I found myself just crying and crying every time I prayed about it. And I wasn't even sure where I was supposed to go to. It took me 2 years of struggling with the Lord before I eventually moved out of my church through a series of divine interventions and directions from the Lord. I ended up here in St. Andrew's Cathedral. And you know what? I've been so blessed in my last 4.5 years now in St. Andrew's Cathedral. And actually, on hindsight, I now wished I would have moved earlier when I received the word of the Lord to move. You know, I in that sense, delayed 2 years, 2 years of disobedience. But I trust in God's perfect timing. But coming here, you know, I find myself so comfortable with the Anglican doctrines because previously I was actually from a different denominational church. And here I rediscovered the roots of my faith, the faith that I've been believing in and practicing in my life. And to many of you out there, thank you. Thank you for receiving me, welcoming me into this family and your community here. I've been so blessed by your hospitality, by your welcome, even though I'm someone from a non-Anglican background, but yet I find myself so welcome and so at home here. As many of you know, news of my posting out of St. Andrew's Cathedral has come early, and this is actually my last weekend here in SAC. And although I'm saddened that I'm not able to continue ministering here, I continue to trust in the sovereign hand of God in directing my life and also in directing the church. You know, I've enjoyed my years here. I've learned so much, and I wish I could have gotten to know more of you. But we go as the Lord directs, and I do hope that I've contributed to the life and ministry here. I've been so privileged to minister in your midst, and I'm trusting for God's plans and purposes to unfold in my life and also over my family, over with the next posting as I go over to SJSM. I'm really not sure how things will turn out. There are people who come up to me and ask me, you know, are you looking forward to it and what are you going to be doing there and all that. I don't really know, actually. You know, it's a big question mark. I don't really know the church very well. I'm not really sure how I'm going to be doing there, but I'm trusting God, and I'm trusting in the goodness of God that He will work things out according to His perfect plan for me and for my family. And that's what I think we need to learn to do day by day. And that leads me to my last point, to live out God's promises with acts of obedience. Live out God's promises with acts of obedience. You know, we are told that Sarah is already 89 years old here in chapter 18, way past childbearing age. And so having a child at 90 one year later is something really impossible, isn't it? And so I guess if you were Sarah, you probably also would be laughing your head off, isn't it, when you hear this news. And the account ends with almost as if she was being told off by the Lord, isn't it? It ends off in a very funny way, you know, almost an accusation against Sarah. But it is a story that ends well. Okay, Sarah wasn't a faithless lady. She was a lady of faith. We read of her again in Hebrews 11, verse 11. These words that talks about Sarah. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So you see, even Sarah, who initially laughed in disbelief and was confronted by the Lord regarding her disbelief, it turned out that she went on to trust God at His word, to put her faith in a faithful God. And you know what? That's what true faith is, isn't it? It's never about how much faith we have, but it's about whom we put our faith in. If you put your faith in the one true God who is faithful, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. Not very much, because it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. It depends on the God who is faithful, the one who is faithful, and the one to whom all things are possible. So we are told, in the account, actually Sarah was already undergoing menopause. She was not able to reproduce, and she also wasn't having any sexual relations with Abraham anymore. And so technically, it was not possible for her to conceive, right? But they acted upon God's promise to them. And I believe that's really why the Lord came by and visited them one final time and to tell them that you're going to have a son next year and to give them a time frame. You know, if you look at the previous promises in 15 and 17, no time frame was given, right? So they had to wait and wait. And now the visitors come and tell them it is next year, which means whatever you need to do it now, okay? In that sense, they need to come together sexually in order to have a child, isn't it? And I believe that's why they told them, in a year's time, you're going to have a child. So try for a child now. And I believe this is such a beautiful picture, actually, of how the sovereign will of the Lord acted in conjunction with the free will of men. If Abraham and Sarah never got together sexually, they will not reproduce. You see, I believe this is one principle which God works with. He doesn't override our free will. He works with and through us. And so when we receive God's word of promise or prophetic words, we need to act upon it in order for God's purposes to be activated in our lives. If we don't act, God's promises will not be activated. It was St. Augustine who said, without God, we cannot, but without us, He will not. Without God, we cannot, but without us, He will not. You see, God works through a spirit-filled and obedient life. And perhaps some of us here are sitting here this morning in the pews and wondering, you know, why am I not receiving all the blessings of God according to the promises in Scripture? We read of all the great things that God has done with the mighty men of faith, you know, God, how God moved so mightily in Scripture, answered so powerfully, but it doesn't seem to be the case in our lives. My friends, that may be because we haven't acted upon God's word in faith. When we are living according to God's ways, like Abraham, when we are trusting and following in God's directions in our lives daily, like Abraham, when we are obeying the commands of God, like Abraham, then we will also find ourselves being blessed like Abraham. Why? Because God's plan is to bless us in order that we may be a blessing unto the nations. Amen. God wants to bless you in order that you may be a blessing unto the nations. So walk by faith. Do what? Act upon the word of God that has already been revealed to you, and you will see God's plan unfold in your lives. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for how we see the men of faith that have gone before us, how they have lived lives of obedience, lives that are models for us to follow, lives that are good examples for us to draw faith from, so that we also may live the faith-filled, obedient life. Give us faith to trust in you. Empower us that we may act upon that which we already know, so that your will and your purposes for our lives may unfold, even as we learn to walk in obedience. This is our prayer for ourselves, that you will use us as a blessing unto the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen.